Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is World Mental Health Day.
It is.
It's October, so we have lots of awareness events going on this month, but World Mental Health Day. Mm-hmm. Mental health, sometimes we talk about it, sometimes we avoid it altogether, and I'm not sure why we avoid it. Maybe there's some stigma with that. There's a great new book.
Yes, it's very good.
Available from one of our... I guess he's a few time guests here on KFUO in the Coffee Hour, and excited to share that with our listeners. New book called A Christian Guide to Mental Illness, Volume 1, which implies
there's
more to come. And having read what I have so far, Volume 2 is going to be, I'm sure, just as great.
Yes.
Joining us by phone today, Dr. Stephen Saunders. He's chair of the Department of Psychology at Marquette University of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and author of A Christian Guide to Mental Illness, Volume 1, now available from Northwestern Publishing House. Dr. Saunders, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me again. It's a pleasure.
Talking about mental illness and mental health, looking at mental illness, there are different views regarding mental illness. Let's say, what's the difference between perhaps a worldly view of mental illness and a Christian perspective of mental illness? Is there a difference between those two perspectives?
Well, I think if there isn't, there should be. I think that's a great question. It really gets at the heart of what I'm trying to communicate in my book, which is, you know, our worldly view. And it might be kind of a, you know, maybe not uniquely, but definitely an American perspective on mental illness, which is, it implies that there's, you know, and not just that the person is mentally ill, but there's something wrong with the person, that they developed the mental illness, that they allowed themselves to succumb to it. There's sort of, in the U.S., we have this general consensus, and it's largely unspoken, but we agree in everything that we read and in our movies and our TVs that there's that it's shameful and embarrassing to develop a mental illness. And, you know, I sometimes call it the weakness, badness theory of mental illness, which is either the person is weak or the person is bad. You know, they're being punished somehow, or they weren't strong enough to stand up against it. And, that relates to what you just said, which is great stigma about mental illness. No one wants to talk about it. They don't talk about it at the grade school level or at the middle school, at the high school. They talk about just about everything. But we get very little education about mental illness, and the most important thing to know about it is that it's extraordinarily common. 1 in 5 persons in the United States in any given year will have a diagnosable mental illness. Probably another 1 in 5 persons will have serious mental health problems, but they don't quite meet the level of a full-blown mental illness. These are the kids at college who they leave for college and their parents announce that they're getting a divorce and now she can't study and she's feeling sad, but she doesn't quite meet criteria, but she can certainly use some help. And then of course you add to those 2 out of 5 people, all the loved ones, the parents and the spouses and the children that are so worried about them and so concerned about them. And as profoundly common, as common as mental illness and mental health problems are, again, we don't talk about them. We don't talk about them, and therefore we don't know them. We don't talk about them. We don't understand them. We're fearful of them, and, you know, it leads to shame and stigma. And, you know, how I would encourage Christians, your listeners perhaps in particular, to think about mental illness is that it's just part of the fallen state of human nature. You know, when sin entered this world, death entered this world, illness entered this world, cancers and heart diseases and diabetes and emphysema, and also depression, the anxiety disorders, schizophrenia, the eating disorders, bipolar disorder, what we used to call manic depression. You know, it's all, you know, part and parcel of the same thing. And so I encourage Christians to, you know, I think we should be leading the way in terms of saying, no, this is... this is just part of who human beings are. There's nothing to be ashamed of. And the other part of the book, you know, as important is that I sometimes worry, and I think there's some evidence to suggest that Christians might feel especially or doubly ashamed of having a mental illness because, you know, if you know God loves you, then you should be happy, which is nowhere in the Bible. That's the Joel Osteen. That's the prosperity preacher preaching there. But I do think that, you know, American Christians maybe fall prey to that, which is that somehow, you know, I know God loves me. I know Christ died for my sins. And then comes the mistake, and therefore I should always be happy. Therefore I should never be anxious or depressed. And some people even go so far as to quote Jesus Christ himself, who said, don't worry. But I just point out, Christ was not a lawgiver. He's saying, don't worry, you'll end up in heaven. He wasn't saying, shame on you for being depressed or shame on you for being anxious. So the theme of the book is just that, which is that, you know, Christians need to understand mental illness better than we're taught, better than we're sometimes sometimes fearful of. You know, this means that my faith isn't strong enough, but rather to realize, just as it says in the third article of the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, faith is a gift from God. It's not weak faith that does this to you. It's just rather that we are part of, we are part of this veil of tears. We are, you know, we are part of life, and life is painful. And, for some, they suffer cancer, others suffer depression, and it's all part of, fallen nature and fallen human beings. And so really that's the book in a nutshell. Describes, how prevalent mental illness is. It describes the types of mental illnesses that there are. And the last part describes how Christians ought to better understand mental illness than sometimes they do. That's a kind of a brief summary of the first volume.
I know, just from talking with some of my friends and working through our own things in daily living, that is definitely a thing, especially probably on social media and blogs about, if you're depressed or you're anxious, just pray a little harder and it'll be okay. But that's definitely not, something that you're trying to get across in this book. Maybe then that may play into this, but why are we so reluctant to talk about these things? When you fall and you break something, it's not a big deal. You go to the doctor. But mental illness is a very different thing. Why is it so hard for us to talk about these things?
Well, I mean, that's the exact example that I use, when lecturing and when talking to people, is if I show up to work and I have a cast on my right arm and someone says to me, what happened? And I'll say, well, I was drinking a cup of hot coffee and I was talking on my phone and I was carrying my book and I was going to lecture and I was wearing rollerblades and I tried to climb down the marble staircase outside my office and I fell and broke my arm. And they'd laugh and say, how silly, how ridiculous for you to do that. And I'd laugh, and then I'd repeat the same story and over again, because I like to make people laugh. But we don't have that same attitudes towards mental illness, it's equally not as shameful, or actually it's much more shameful that I would do such a silly thing and hurt myself. But no one... It's not that we're making a mistake. It's that, mental illness overcomes some of us and not others. But I do think it's a lack of, we don't talk about it openly. I think we should talk about it more openly. We don't know. Therefore, we don't know how to talk about it. And so, someone who develops a mental illness, even though if I'm sitting in a church with 200 other people, I have a mental illness, and statistically, there's, with 200 people in the room, there's 40 of us, there's 39 other people in the pews with me that also have right now a mental illness, and another 39 parents in the room worried about a child with a mental illness, and yet I think I'm all alone because no one's talking about it. And no one's talking about it. Maybe we don't hear about it enough from the pulpit. I would encourage any pastors listening right now on Sunday when you have your prayers for the church to not just say we pray for those who are facing illness, but we pray for those facing physical and mental illness and mental health problems. Just add that one word and you will have people in the pews sit up and notice. And then the particular people that will notice are those that thought, well, I thought this was just me. I thought I was the only one here. Look at all these happy, healthy people. I thought I was the only one. And to get a conversation going about it and to be open about it and to understand it better. But it really is kind of this vicious cycle, I suppose, where we don't talk about it and therefore we don't develop an understanding of it and we don't develop less fear and less stigma towards it.
We have 30 seconds, a minute left, and I have so many more questions. Who do you want to, who is this book written for?
It is written for pastors, and it is written for church workers, and that's, I think, right on that cover page there. But it's really written for anyone who wants to better understand mental illness and to be able to help really anyone else with a mental illness, perhaps for Christians in particular, especially if they're burdened with this, you know, this double shame of thinking there's something wrong with their faith that they've allowed themselves to feel this way. I wrote it, you know, let's put it this way, everyone but my colleagues, because it's not written for a professional audience. You know, pastors are certainly professionals, but it really is written for the non-mental health professional to better understand and to help themselves, help other people deal with mental illness better.
And identifying it, you know, recognizing it when you see it, mm-hmm. so that you can be helpful. It's not that we're going to be equipped to act in a clinical way, but to be able to identify it so that we can, especially as pastors or church workers, make a referral, you know, to recognize it when we see it and be able to make a referral and to continue and make sure that we're supporting that mm-hmm. person who's experiencing mental illness, make sure that we're doing what we can to be helpful for them.
And all of that is exactly the content of Volume 2, which is how to talk to someone, how to make a referral, how to find a good mental health professional, how to stay involved to offer spiritual consolation, and how to even stay involved to, you know, make sure the person is getting proper care. So Volume 2 is even a bit longer than Volume 1. I had a lot to say about all of those things.
Dr. Stephen Saunders, Chair of the Department of Psychology at Marquette University, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, author of A Christian Guide to Mental Illness, Volume 1, Volume 2 on the way. Volume 1 available now from Northwestern Publishing House. We'll provide the link in the program notes today as well. Dr. Saunders, thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Sarah, Andy, thank you very much for having me.
Always a pleasure. Mm-hmm. Well, that does it for the Coffee Hour today. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.